Hello and welcome in to another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our week 8 best bets pod on a fine Saturday morning here. Cody, the boys are 15 and a half point dogs at Alabama today. Half the starting offense is out. How do we feel about our chances?
Not good. Not good. Alabama coming off of a loss too. So they, I mean, if they, it's worst case scenario. Our offense is completely banged up. Our defense already isn't that good. And Alabama's coming off a loss. And if they have one more, their playoff chances are completely dead. So they're going to be playing insane today. So don't love our chances, but never know. If Brady Cook can go out there and will this team to a win, he will go down as a Mizzou legend. So could be an awesome day, but not expecting it as of right now.
Yeah, I really wish they would have won that game against Tennessee. I'd feel a little better about our chances for sure of them sleepwalking in this spot. But yeah, you're right. They're going to be locked in, and it's probably not going to be good for us. We were talking before we got on the pod here that a lot of the lines we liked earlier in this week have moved in the direction we expected them to, which is good for our capping, but also bad because we are not getting the best of the number on some of the games we liked earlier. So we might have a couple in here that we didn't really discuss that much on Wednesday's pod. I know I have at least one that I don't think I touched on very much.
Yeah, same here.
Recording.
I have two of them that I didn't talk about at all that I ended up having to throw in here. I mean, the Dolphins was a team that I liked. Their line moved. The Bengals were a team we talked about. Their line moved. The Jags line moved against us. Yeah, I mean, just crazy. The Colts we talked about earlier this week, that had already moved. It moved a little bit more. So yeah, it's crazy. Lions. Basically everything that we had talked about earlier this week had moved. So shout out to the pod for being on the right side of a lot of these bets earlier in the week. So if you just tune in for the picks, make sure you tune into the weekly episodes as well, because we like to try and get the best of the number, and you would have had the opportunity to get the best of four or five different numbers this week if you would have listened to our other episodes. So, but yeah, you know, it made me make a couple of changes, but that's all right. If I can take those bets early in the week and get the best of the number, I'm more than happy with it.
Yeah, especially when we're talking about 2.5, 3-point spreads. Those numbers are pretty key around those points of the spread. But I'll go first here. This one I did talk about a little bit on Wednesday. I don't remember how much conviction I had about it, but did some research, and I like it. I think it's a sneaky spot to take an over in Baltimore-Cleveland, 44.5. This number is I believe shading towards 45, so I might grab 44.5 if you can. It's moving up in some spots, but the Ravens, they have not played a game under 45 yet. 35-10 against the Bills is the lowest total score that they've had in a game so far. They're 7-for-7 on this number, averaging 56.8, so not even really that close to this 44.5 number. And then the Browns, obviously on the other side, haven't scored 20 points yet this year, but throw all of it out. Jameis Winston's the quarterback now. It's going to completely change this offense, in my opinion. For better or for worse, we'll see. But if it's for worse, it'll lean good things for the Baltimore defense and them scoring points on the other way. So I think the Ravens' awesome run defense is going to force Jameis to pass. And when he does that, it's either going to be, you know, long completions or it's going to be interceptions going back the other way. Either way, it's good for the over. 44.5, I think this is just suppressed because AFC North games generally, you know, not a spot you want to take overs, but this game just kind of screams kind of a sneaky over spot for me.
Yep, we are riding this one together. I also have Ravens and Browns over 44.5. And yeah, like you said, it is trending to tick up. On FanDuel right now, I'm seeing it 45.5. So shop that number, make sure that you get the best of it because that point could make the difference. So yeah, love the 44.5. Just reiterating what Nick said, Jameis just is the ultimate wild card. He could have three passing touchdowns and three interceptions that put the Ravens in good territory. So I like it quite a bit. The Ravens defense has been okay, not great. So they should be able to move the ball, the Browns that is. And then the Ravens is just, their offense is a complete wagon. I don't think that there is I don't think the Browns defense, as vaunted as it was last year, is going to do too much to be able to stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. That combo is unbelievable. So, yeah, over 44.5. And if you did tune into the other podcast, the one that came out Thursday, you would know that overs have been our most profitable bet over the past 2.5 years now. We don't take a lot of them, but when we do, we like to call our shots on them, and this is a great one to call your shot on. Like Nick said, with it being an AFC North matchup, you know, a lot of people are going to want to take this under just automatically, but the way that this game's set up, it does feel like a great chance at an over, so we are riding that one together.
Cincinnati minus 2.5 is going to be my next best bet. This one trending towards 3 for Cincy, so I would grab this while it's at 2.5 as well. A couple things here. Jordan Mailata of the Philadelphia Eagles, their left tackle, is out. The Bengals' left tackle, Orlando Brown Jr., is in, so that is a pretty big advantage right off the jump. The Eagles' backup left tackle is he rates out as one of the worst 20 tackles in the league, at least so far this year, for anybody with enough snaps to qualify. So it's a pretty big difference because Mailata is a really good one. So that's a huge drop off as far as the Eagles are concerned. Burrow himself does really well in this spot. Gave this stat out on Wednesday, but I'll read it again. 22-6-1 against the spread against the team coming off an ATS win. And I think it kind of just comes down to the fact that I trust this Bengals offense more than the Eagles offense. These two teams mirror each other a lot, in my opinion. Defenses have been resurgent recently against some poor competition. Offenses have been struggling a little bit as well. But at the end of the day, I'm going to take Burrow at home in a spot that he tends to cover, like I said before. Also, 10-2 straight up as a favorite versus NFC teams is Burrow. And this game kind of reminds me of that Tampa game that the Eagles played a few weeks ago on the road against Baker Mayfield. That Bucs offense mirrors the Bengals offense in a lot of ways when it's healthy. Two star wide receivers and a run game that'll get you there. It's not really where either one of these teams focus, but the Bucs did basically anything they wanted against this Eagles defense. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to hold Joe Burrow and these two pass catchers down. I will say, T. Higgins is questionable. If he does not play, I would certainly not like this bet quite as much. I'd probably replace it with one. I'll just mention at the end because I'll give a couple of my six and sevens that I liked in this spot. But in case, I don't want to throw it out there in case Cody has it later. But we'll see where that ends up. That's just the one fly in the soup that I would keep your eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely going to make a big difference in how you feel going into that game. Yeah, that was one of the games that we had talked about earlier in the week. I had liked it a little bit more. I got scared off of it just a little bit, but Nick makes a great point about the left tackle for the Eagles. The Bengals are now going to be able to generate a pass rush against them, and Jalen Hurts does not fare too well against the rush. So I like the bet. Even if T. Higgins doesn't play, it may just be a little bit more low scoring, but I still don't hate it. I think that's the right side to be on. My second bet here, I'm going to take the Bears -3. This line has moved a good amount in the Bears direction, so definitely missing the best of the number. But we've kind of gotten confirmation. It seems like Jaden Daniels is going to be out. He's a game time decision. Either way, if he does play, he'll be a little bit hobbled. So that's not going to scare me off of it. But this is kind of a plant the flag game with the Bears. I like this team a lot, and it really all starts on the defensive side of the ball. They're top 10 in rush yards allowed per game, pass yards allowed per game, and overall points per game allowed. So their defense has been playing very well as expected coming into this season. They're also a top 5 team in third down percentage. So They do a good job of getting you behind the sticks, and then once you get to that third down, they do a great job of getting off the field as well. So I think against Mariota, I bet that the Commanders get behind the chains a little bit, which will lead to some third and longs, and the Bears, again, they're really good at getting off the field in those situations. So love that for this bet. And then on the other side, we have seen Caleb Williams kind of slowly get better from his first 2 weeks where he didn't look that good. They have been against some easier defenses, but the Commanders' defense is still a very low-quality defense. They've been masked a little bit by how good Jaden Daniels has been. Obviously, when you have such a prolific offense, it changes the game plan for the other team. They have to throw the ball more, it just changes everything. Whereas in this one, if the Bears get up, I think that they're going to be able to run and pass on this Commanders defense pretty well. The way I really see this game going, I'd expect Chicago to hang somewhere around 24-plus on them. So we just need Washington to stay below the 20 mark. And I think with Marcus Mariota, we're going to be able to get there. So Bears -3 is my second best bet of the week.
Yeah, I think this line's all about what you believe about Daniels. He is technically a game time decision right now. I think the only reason it's holding a three is because of that. If this was Mariota confirmed, I think this line pushes up to 4.5, 5, and you're getting a couple points of value here. So you like the Bears and you think Daniels is not going to play, 3 is a great number, but you are kind of risking running into Daniels somehow getting the start in this game. But even if he does, he's going to be most likely limited. I don't think they'll be running him as much, so you're not going to get 100% Jaden Daniels either way. Indy +5 is going to be my next best bet. We gave this out at 6 earlier this week, so hopefully you got that number. I'll get to this later, but I'll probably wait till Sunday to bet this one. But for Indy, Jonathan Taylor back, that's a huge deal for their offense, obviously helps their running game. The Houston Texans really struggle with running quarterbacks so far this year. They've only really played 4 that you could call mobile. Drake May, 38 yards. Josh Allen, 54. Caleb Williams, 44. Richardson himself, 56 yards and a touchdown. So pretty consistent across the board there. They're going to allow these running quarterbacks to get outside the pocket. And I think that can help Richardson move the sticks a couple times here in where he just has trouble maintaining drives. And this is a spot that I think he'll be able to do it. Stroud has really, really struggled without Nico so far. 2 full games, he has 278 passing yards the last 2 weeks without Collins. This Indy defense is gettable in the run and the pass, really, but I just think that the Indianapolis Colts will be able to hold us within this 5-point margin because of the lack of explosiveness on the Texans offense and the fact that Richardson and the Colts offense matches up pretty well with Houston. Another fun stat, Indy 11-1-1 against the spread in Houston since 2013. The reason I said I might wait to bet this is because 5 is not really a key number. So I like it just as much at 4.5. And I think you might be able to get a 5.5 or a 6 come Sunday because all of the money and all the bets coming in on the Texans, 80% of bets, 81% of money. I think that we like that because the numbers actually come down, even considering all of that action. So that's a good sign for our bet. But I think that, if books say, okay, we have enough Texans money, let's get a few more cold dollars in there on Sunday morning, they could move this line up a half point or a full point to get some action on the other side of it if they're leveraged enough on Houston. But I think they've already called their shot. The books are clearly leaning towards the Colts, even if the number goes back up. I would just wait. If it ticks down to 4.5, go ahead and grab it because 4.5 to 4 is a big deal. 5 to 4.5, not so much. So just keep an eye on it.
Yep, absolutely. Love that one. That's one that we've been on all week. And same game, just a different side of it here. I'm going to take the under of 45.5. Every Anthony Richardson game this year so far has gone to the under besides week 1 against the same Texans. But that was also the Texans when they had Nico Collins. And then Anthony Richardson had 1 60-yard touchdown and another 54-yard touchdown in that game. And still, would just be barely over this 45.5 mark with all of those things going towards the over. Anthony Richardson could have a good game. And if he has a great game, this under is probably cooked. But, if we get the Anthony Richardson that we've had for most of the season, we could probably cruise to this under. This Texans offense just has not looked the same. Obviously, Joe Mixon's been phenomenal, but if both these teams keep it on the ground, keep the clock moving, and run the ball with Taylor and Mixon, I would be perfectly fine with that. I love the under 45.5, just kind of riding the Anthony Richardson trend that if he doesn't have a couple of bomb touchdowns in a game, the under seems to be pretty easy. So Colts-Texans under 45.5 would be my third best bet.
Yeah, you'd expect the rush rate in this game to be like above 50% to combine for both these teams.
Sure.
Without Collins, the Texans have actually been running the ball more than they've been passing it. Last week against the Green Bay Packers in a game that was pretty tight the whole way, it's not like they were nursing a huge lead or anything. 33 rush attempts to 21 throws, 4 sacks as well. So I guess 25 dropbacks, 33 rush attempts. That's a pretty significant number. It kind of tells you that this Texans team might have seen C.J. Stroud without Collins in this pass attack struggle, and they just said, let's just lean into Joe Mixon and have him run it. And on the other side, obviously, Anthony Richardson routinely throwing up under 20 passes per game. With Jonathan Taylor coming back, I expect them to lean into the ground game as well. So all those things help your under. I'm going to an under as well, this one in the 3 o'clock slate. Saints-Chargers under 41. Chargers haven't hit a total of 40 yet in 7 games. They are 7-for-7 to under 40, and we have a free point here on top of that. Average 31.5, so not even close to this total of 40 in Chargers games to this point. Saints have been over the last 2 weeks, but one of those games, that Tampa Bay game, the crazy 51-27 game, there was 6 turnovers, 3 on each side, 2 defensive scores, 1 punt return touchdown. Plus, Baker Mayfield and the Bucs are just an over team in general. Them play that crazy game against Baltimore last week. We saw them play that crazy game against Atlanta on Thursday night a couple weeks ago as well. So I think that was more about Baker and the Bucs than it was about the Saints. And then the other one was that under, I believe, Cody, you were on that under separately, not on the pod, but it was 26-3 with 5 minutes left, and we got the classic defensive touchdown and garbage time TD combo. If we're sitting at 26-3 with 5 minutes left and we lose this bet, I'll take it again every time. You know, that's good process, bad result. I think the way the Chargers want to play is definitely towards the under. And if the Saints know what's good for them, they want to play to the under too. You know, we watched Spencer Rattler last week. It wasn't pretty. I think if you're the Saints, you want to, you know, run the ball, shorten up this game, limit the number of possessions, and try to win a close ball game, 20-16 with some turnover luck or something like that. I don't see any reason you'd be throwing the ball down the field against a pretty good Chargers defense. I think both these teams will, you know, just be methodically pushing the ball down the field. And the Chargers have been settling for a lot of field goals in the red zone anyway. So I don't get this number up at 41, honestly. I think if the Saints hadn't had that weird cover to the over last week, this would be more like 38. So I think we're getting a couple points of value because of some fluky touchdowns towards the end of that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one that we had talked about earlier this week, that's definitely the right side to be on. And yeah, like you said, same thing with the Broncos game. If you're, you know, if there's 2 late touchdowns that are basically just garbage time, it, like you said, just good process, bad result, nothing you can do about it. But this is the right side of the bet to be on for sure. Okay, let's go number 4 here. We're going to take the Raiders +9.5 at home against my Chiefs. Again, just kind of expect this game to be just a close game. Since 2020, Mahomes 14-22 against the spread as a favorite of more than a touchdown, only 39%. So a very strong trend favoring the Raiders +9.5. And then again, with the Aiden O'Connell injury, I just feel like Gardner Minshew is going to be able to play a little bit more free. He doesn't have to worry about getting benched or losing his job for at least a few weeks. So I think that he'll play a little bit better, a little bit more free. And then again, the Raiders, this team just hates the Chiefs. Again, like I said on Thursday, this is their Super Bowl. And, you know, they're going to want to win. They're going to want to win this game outright. They're going to play as hard as they possibly can. So, and again, I don't love where this Chiefs offense is. They've been able to execute very well over the past couple of weeks. But, you know, if the Raiders can just hold the run game to an average game, then, you know, you're putting the ball in Mahomes' hands with less than optimal receiving options in those situations. The team against the Chiefs loves to cover. So I think it just comes down, if Kareem Hunt comes out again and rushes for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns, then we're probably cooked in this one. But if the Raiders can slow down Kareem Hunt in this running game, I love the bet even more. So Raiders +9.5 at home against the Chiefs.
Yeah, this one, play on the number. It's really hard to say, sit here and, you know, talk football about the Raiders and the Chiefs and give reasons that the Raiders are going to be able to compete in this game. It's just a number that Mahomes has historically struggled to cover. And I think we're getting an overvalued Chiefs team coming off a week where the entire San Francisco offense just decided to get hurt at the same time. And, you know, they probably looked a lot worse than they would have if they'd all been healthy. And the Chiefs, you know, ran through a really good team on the road. You got to give them credit, but it is inflating their value a bit on the market, I believe. To that point, 16% of bets, 42% of money on the Raiders. So basically all the action coming in on the Chiefs from the public, and the line moves down. Very similar to this Indy bet that we made earlier. You know, the book is kind of calling their shot here on the Raiders. Gave it out at 10 earlier in the week, and all the money, all the bets come in on the Chiefs. They still move it down to 9.5. So something to keep an eye on there. That's the only reason this didn't end up in my 5. Actually, I'm glad I didn't mention it earlier. This will be my pivot. Raiders +9.5 if T. Higgins is ruled out tomorrow. So just keep your eye on the Higgins news. If you want to wait to bet the Bengals, I don't blame you. But yeah, Raiders plus 9.5. I like it. I have this sneaking feeling that 10 I'm holding right now is going to matter. So we'll see. If it ends up on 10, I'd be really upset if I gave out the 9.5. But anyway, yep. That would be my pivot if Higgins is out. My last best bet, Buffalo Bills -3 on the road. I'm very surprised it's still here. May have something to do with that Ernest Jones trade. Maybe some Seahawks money just coming in because of positivity there. This was heading towards 3.5 when we talked on Wednesday, and DK Metcalf's only gotten his injury news has gotten worse since that point. He's doubtful right now. He's definitely he's not going to play, so he's going to be out. That's absolutely huge. He has 3 of their 8 receiving touchdowns and 29% of their receiving yards. He is a huge part of this offense against a Buffalo team on the other side that's obviously very good. You know, you're going to have to keep up, and that's just a huge detriment to what Seattle wants to do. I'm betting the Bills are going to be able to run in this game, and I think Amari Cooper gives Josh a consistent option in the receiving game he really hasn't had since, you know, Diggs and Gabe Davis left in the offseason. Ken Walker also sick heading into this matchup. So the one kind of equalizer here, if Walker in the run game can take over for Seattle at home, that would be my biggest worry. But he's also dealing with an illness heading into this game. So just another thing for Seattle to overcome. Like the Bills, -3 on the road in Seattle here.
Yep, we are actually on this one together. This is one of the pivots that I made after some line movement earlier this week. So I'm also riding Bills -3 with you. Same thing. I'm a little bit surprised that this line has not moved all week. It's basically just been stuck at Bills -3. And again, like you said, no DK on the Seattle side makes their offense a lot less scary. You know, the Seattle defense has not been that good for having one of the best defensive minds at the helm, but they've also dealt with a lot of injuries. They're still dealing with a lot of injuries. So I do think that the Bills -3 is a good spot here, especially Seattle coming off of a huge win last week in Atlanta. Definitely a chance for a letdown spot, given that their best wide receiver is probably also going to miss this game. I knew you were going to be on Bills -3. I looked at taking the over, but with no DK, I couldn't get to it. And the Bills are the last team in the NFL when it comes to plays per game. So they, a lot of things just took me off of the over. So ended up riding with you. Bills -3 is my 5th best bet as well.
I think the under is actually a good look in this game. Usually you don't want to take the favorite and the under. It's kind of a unique matchup here in that regard, but the number is coming down because there's some rain and some wind on the West Coast this week. That's projected for this ball game. And there's only 83% of bets, 70% of money coming in on the over, and the number's coming down. Another situation where, you know, the books kind of know that the weather's not going to be great. They know that the Seahawks probably going to run more with no DK, and the Bills should be able to run on the Seahawks in general. And like you said, they take their time in between snaps. They run the ball. The clock moves in these Bills games. So even though it's Josh Allen and a Bills offense that's high flying, these totals generally stay under in games that are close.
Absolutely. All
right. That was your last one, right?
That was it. Yep.
All right. You want to recap real quick, and then I will recap myself, and we'll get out of here.
Cool. Let's do it. We got the Bears -3 playing against the Commanders. We have the Colts at the Texans under 45.5. Ravens at Browns over 44.5. Raiders plus 9.5, and Bills -3.
Podcast bet with Cody, Baltimore, Cleveland over 44.5, Bills -3 on the road at Seattle. I am taking Cincinnati -2.5 at home against the Philadelphia Eagles as long as Higgins plays. If not, I'm pivoting to +9.5 for the Raiders with Cody. Indy +5 in the same game as Cody with that under. Both of us can probably cash those. New Orleans, LA, Chargers under 41 is my last best bet.
Awesome. All right. Well, cool. Let's get out of here. Get this thing posted for the people. That way they can get their bets in before hopefully the lines don't move on them before they can listen, because they have moved quite a bit this week. But make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you tune into the podcast throughout the week as well, because this is a great example for it. Like we talked about, a lot of line movement this week went in the direction that we were thinking. So good week for the pod, good process for the pod this week. So again, make sure you're subscribed, make sure you're tuning in. Nick, I will talk to you Monday after hopefully a nice winning week for us, and we will be back next week for week 9. So talk to you then. Peace out, everybody.
Peace.